Open your Bibles to the second chapter of Luke. I have asked Antoine to return in on Christmas Eve. He's going to sing another song for us. Just wouldn't be Christmas Eve without Antoine singing. Would it, church? I want to speak to you this morning about the family business. The family business. So I want to teach through Luke chapter 2, but we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to start at the end of the chapter. And so let's go down to Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now by the time we come to verse 41, Jesus has been born. He's a teenager. And it's at the time that men were required to return to Jerusalem for a feast. They were required to return for three feasts. The feast of the Passover, the feast of Pentecost, and I don't remember the third one. But for three feasts, they were required to return. And so this is the story now of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, and they're returning to Jerusalem. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about the Holy Family here is their devotion. Who was required to return to Jerusalem? The Father. And the Father only. And yet, in this story, we see the entire family. And so, not just Joseph, but with Mary and with Jesus. And the trip was a pretty tough trip. And so what they would do is they would gather the women and the children first, and the women and the children would leave early. They would begin this walking trip. And then the men would finish their work day, and they would catch up to the women and the children. And so, and they would travel in large groups. So envision this trip in your mind, not loading up the family station wagon with the fake wood on the sides. It wasn't anything like that. The women and the children would take off. And so imagine this dust cloud as they're kind of strolling along. And then behind them come the men hustling to catch up. This is the kind of trip that Joseph and Mary are on. And the whole family is on the trip. And they were required to go, but not for the entire week. But look in verse 43. And when they had finished the days. So Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they stayed the whole week. When the doors were open, they were there. And so they had gone to Jerusalem for the entire Passover week. But something happens. They had finished the days, and as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. What happened? Joseph and Mary momentarily take their eyes off of Jesus. You say, how could that be? They're Joseph and Mary. Oh, beloved, it happens to all of us, does it not? Can I get a witness? Amen. It happens. It happens. You think that you got your eyes on Jesus. You think that you're tracking with Him. You think that everything's going okay. And then next thing you know, your eyes have been momentarily taken off of the Lord, and you find yourself just lost. And you know what season is the worst for it? Yes. This season. How can that be? This entire season is about Jesus. It's about His birth. It's about His advent. It's about His coming. Look at that big old star and the beautiful tree. And yet, Joseph and Mary had become busy with ceremony. After all, they were in Jerusalem. They were doing the Passover thing. And you know, I bet you Joseph and Mary were doing every bit of that ceremony perfectly. Don't you suppose? They just got busy. They got busy with the ceremony. They got busy with their schedule. Out of town guests. You know how it is. It happens. They always show up when? Saturday night. Maybe some of you here this morning are out of town guests, and we're glad to have you here. We're glad that you made it to church. But they were busy. You should have seen their calendar that week. So much going on. So much to prepare for. So much that what happened was that Joseph and Mary took their eyes off of the Lord. And so, hey, Joseph's a dad. You know how it is when you're on a trip, right? Who's the schedule meister? Mary, we got to go. Come on. Let's go. The women are leaving. Mary, go. And so Mary leaves with the women, probably a big group of family and friends, and off they go down the road. And she's thinking, well, the last time I saw Jesus, he was with Joseph, and so that's where he is. And Joseph's thinking, the last time I saw Jesus, he was with Mary, and that's where he is. And so the women take off down the road. The men are doing whatever the men are doing. And then the men take off, and that night the men catch up with the women, and they're setting up camp, and they would stay in homes along the way. Hospitality was a huge part of the culture. And so they would share just spots in a home. If this was a home, you know, the Joneses would be over here, and the Smiths would be over here, and the Colemans would be over here. The Wilsons would be over here. Anton would be up here singing. And everybody was kind of getting settled in with their families, and Joseph and Mary get caught up with one another, and they look at each other, and it's like that scene in Home Alone when they finally realize that Kevin's not on the airplane. Kevin! Except it was, Jesus! Where is he? I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. And they start asking around to all the family. Well, maybe he's with his cousins, or maybe he's, you know, with Elizabeth and Zacharias. Nowhere to be found. It can happen to all of us. They realize in a moment, oh my goodness, I forgot Jesus. I forgot Jesus. I was so busy doing the right thing. I was so busy doing what everybody else was doing. I was so busy celebrating and just having a wonderful time that I forgot Jesus. Beloved, let's not be guilty of this Christmas. Amen? Amen? It's His birthday. And so look in verse 45. So when they did not find Him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking Him. Now they've traveled a full day. By foot, they've traveled about from Simi Valley to Newberry Park. By foot. And you say, well, that's not very far. But remember, it's a large group. It's women, it's children. Israel's not big on the wheel at this point. They're walking. They're doing the donkey thing. So they're in Newberry Park. And they realize, my goodness. So they, the next morning, I'm sure at first light, they leave Newberry Park and here they come back. But it's another full day of travel. So a day of travel, another day back, and now it's the third day. And so, in verse 46, now it was that after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. So when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said to Him, they come back now to Jerusalem. And it doesn't appear to me that it took them very long to find Him. Yeah, it's the third day, but 2 of those days were travel. So they return, and probably when they return to Jerusalem, Jerusalem is buzzing with the news of this 12-year-old. In some of your versions, it says that he's sitting with the doctors. We have a couple of doctors here this morning. Sitting with the doctors, discussing, listening to their answers, asking them questions. And Jerusalem's buzzing with the news of this kid. Who is this kid? He's been living in the temple. In those days, the temple had living quarters. Nowadays, of course, you know, we've become smarter than God, and it's illegal to live at the church. But in these days, people lived at the temple. And so Jesus has been hanging out here for a couple of days, just confounding the teachers. And Mary and Joseph walk in on this, and they are amazed. Friends, why are they amazed? Why are they amazed? Because they haven't grasped the family business yet. They will, but at this point, they're amazed to see what Jesus is doing, to hear what he is saying. And so they walk in now and they find him. And I'm sure that their hearts are filled with regret. I don't know if it's ever happened to you or not. Of course, it's never happened to us. But I've heard of other parents that you're at a store and you're so busy and you suddenly get to your car and you're unloading the groceries and you realize, where's my kid? you rush past the strikers and you're back into the grocery store. And you find your kid there in the basket. You scoop him up and then what do? You look around to see if the produce guy caught you or anything like that. Of course, that's never, you know, what happened to us. But they regret leaving Jesus behind. But you know what they don't regret at this point? They do not regret, moms and dads, they do not regret the lessons that they have taught Jesus throughout his life. Young people, Jesus learned his lessons. He knew his Bible. And so here he is now. You say, yeah, well, he's God. Yeah, he's still a teenager, though. He knew his word. He knew his Bible. And of all the things that Joseph and Mary may be regretting at this moment, the thing that they're not regretting is that mom and dad brought him to church. That mom and dad taught him that the word was on the lips of mom and dad. My son, Ben, who's celebrating his 6-month wedding anniversary today. Whatever. So long as I get grandkids right away, I don't care what they celebrate. Celebrate away. But anyhow, been married 6 months now. And we love to tease and look back, you know, about his upbringing. And I remember a time that Ben said to us, do you guys always have to, like, say scriptures to us? Can't you just spank me and get it over with? No. The answer is no. But you know, my kids know the word. And that's how he will raise my grandchildren as soon as he and Sarah get it off the dime and give me some. And so, enough about me. Verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why? Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought you anxiously. You know what's interesting here? Who's the spokesman in this family? Who is it? Mary. Why do you think that is? Joseph's not really the father of Jesus, is he? Although, in the Jewish law, the father who raised him is the father. So, he is the father, and yet, when it comes time to confront this young man, it is Mary who feels the authority, shall we say, to speak up. And she says to Jesus, why have you done this? We're filled with feelings, is what she's telling Jesus. They were probably scared. Could you imagine that, the parents? Maybe ashamed. I mean, they've gone to their whole entire family now and said, I lost my kid. Have you seen him? No. You think she's angry? I I can imagine her being a little angry. So she goes to Jesus and she says, "Why have you caused me to have all these feelings?" And look at Jesus' answer. It's very respectful. In the Greek, it's a very respectful answer. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me?" And you can insert the word "so." "Why did you seek me so?" In the original, that's how it's written. And what's Jesus saying to them? Why did you fear? Why did you seek me in fear? Why did you seek me so anxiously? Why, mother and father, are you filled with anxiety about me?" And so here's this 12-year-old gently and respectfully giving his parents a lesson about having faith in whom? In God. "Why, mother, did you seek me so?" And then he explains to her what he's doing. "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Ah, the family business. He says, "Why are you filled with fear? Why are you filled with anger? Why are you filled with anxiety? I'm doing the family business here." And Joseph and Mary, do you think they get it? Look at verse 50. "But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them." Joseph and Mary don't get the family business. But let's back up now to verse 1. And let's read about some folks who do get the family business. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." Now, isn't this interesting? 700 years before this holy night, it was prophesied in Malachi that Messiah would be born in the city of Bethlehem. But there's a problem here. The problem is that Joseph and Mary are not living in Bethlehem. And Mary's getting closer and closer to delivering this baby. And where must this baby be born? In Bethlehem. So God has a problem here. So God fixes this problem by letting Caesar Augustus think that he has this great idea. Can you imagine the cabinet meeting and Caesar Augustus says, "Hey guys, I got this idea. Let's bring everybody back to their original city to be registered." And they all think, "What a great idea." Well, it wasn't their idea at all, was it? It was just the Lord working. Why? Because the Lord will have His way. "And so Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." And we saw it so beautifully demonstrated for us this morning by our very talented, I might say, fifth graders. Amen? "And so it was while they were there that the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Verse number 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." You know, it's just kind of an interesting thing here. The climate in the Holy Land is pretty similar to our climate. And there's a time of the year that the shepherds would be outside. And then there was a time of the year that the shepherds would have the sheep inside. So during this time of the year, do you think the sheep would be inside or outside? It's going to be 59 degrees tonight when we start Christmas caroling. Probably inside. Probably this is not December. But you know what? We're going to celebrate anyway. Amen? All right. "So the shepherds are out sides, probably during the warmer time of the year. They're keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." How many babies do you think were in Bethlehem, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger that night with a big old star shining over him? How many do you think it was? Probably one, yeah. Right answer. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men.'" Beloved, that is the family business. Peace on earth and goodwill to men. That's the family business. Verse 15, "And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and let us see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, verse number 20 tells me that the shepherds understood the family business. Because let's read. "Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Beloved, what are the shepherds excited about? That Messiah has come. That God has sent a Savior. And that there is now a way of salvation. That is the family business. That's the family business. And the shepherds got it. And they made widely known. You know, one of the things that we're going to do in 2004 is we're going to make the gospel message widely known. It might just be as wide as your neighbors. But perhaps that's wider than it was in 03. But the shepherds went out. They understood the family business. The family business of God is salvation. It's sending a Savior. It's the good news. It's the good news that we can have peace with God. That we don't have to stand before Him someday guilty and hear a gavel. We stand before Him and hear forgiven. That's the family business. The shepherds got it. Well, there's another person who got the family business. Let's read in verse 21. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." On the 8th day, this was the one bit of work that even the Jews would do on the Sabbath. Because when it was the 8th day, it was the time to circumcise the baby, and it was time to name the baby. So it wouldn't have mattered had it been Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It was the day. And so now Joseph and Mary, we know from reading the end of the chapter, they're righteous people. They're going to do the program. Amen? They're going to obey the Lord. And so what God has said is on the 8th day, you bring your son, and that's what they did. "Now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And so, in verse 25, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him." What is the consolation of Israel? I love that song. O come, O come, Emmanuel, to ransom captive Israel. That's the consolation of Israel. When Jesus came, He is the consolation. And so Simeon had been told, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see this. The Lord told Simeon this. And perhaps when Simeon was 50, he was excited about it. Maybe at 60, he was still excited about it. But now he's an old man. He wants to go home. He wants to go to heaven. And yet he knows that he can't go, he won't go, until he sees the consolation of Israel. And so he came by the Spirit, verse 27, into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God. So the Holy Spirit had told Simeon, you're not going to die until you see Messiah. And then this morning, the Holy Spirit wakes him up and says, you better be on duty this morning, brother man. Messiah is coming in. And so Simeon goes to the temple. And he knows. He knows. He understands the family business. And he's waiting. And so he takes Jesus up in his arms. And he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, that's us, and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary his mother, behold this. And he pauses. And the next word in your Bible, it's in italics, isn't it? You know what that means? It means it wasn't there in the original. Beloved, Simeon has a moment where he has Jesus in his arms. He says, behold this. He doesn't even know what to say next. And in some versions it says child, in some versions it says Holy One. But just picture this old man just taken with the moment. He has not words for his Savior. Why? He gets the family business. And so he says, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Oh, Simeon says to Mary, Mary, not only will many people be saved because of your baby, but your heart will be broken in the process. Why does he say that to her? Because he knows that the family business is about saving us. And in order for that to happen, Jesus has to go to the cross. Simeon understood the family business. Well, there's another person here that understands the family business. Verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years old who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Anna was one of those widows. Do you remember back when we studied 1 and 2 Timothy? Paul suggested to Timothy, hire the widows. Bring them on staff. To do what? To pray. To pray. And that's what Anna's job was. Anna was one of these widows who her job was to minister at the temple. She was a prayer warrior. I pray that some of you seniors in our congregation, I would covet the knowledge that your ministry is to pray for this church. I would love that. That was Anna's job. So she's in the temple, she's doing her job. In verse 38, and coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Beloved, Simeon got it and Anna got it. The family business is salvation. It's redemption. It's peace on earth. It's goodwill to men. Do you get it? Here's my Christmas question to you this morning. Do you get it? Do you understand the family business? Are you in the family business? Well, let me just answer that question. The answer is yes. If you know the Lord, you're in the family business. So let me ask you this. Are you pulling your weight? Are you doing your job? Are you keeping things straight? Are your accounts clear? Are you fulfilling the things that God wants you to do? Church, here is my challenge for you in 2004. I want us as a church to do three things to accomplish the family business. One is, I want each and every one of us to devour the Word in a year. Starting January 1, 04, and ending December 31, 04. I want each of us to devour the Word. You say, that's a lot of Word. 750,000 of them, as a matter of fact. It's about three chapters a day. You can do this. That's less than an episode of Wheel of Fortune. Three chapters. We're going to have some yearly Bibles in the bookstore. You can go to the bookstore and buy the version that you like. You can get on the internet and download the schedule. That's what I did in 03. But I want us to devour the Word. All of it in a year. I want each one to win one. I want, personally as well as for you, I want to win a soul. In 2004. God's already shown Lynette and I who it is for us. I want each one to win one. If you're a single person, win a single person. If you're a family, win a family. Some of you have already jump-started this and you have family sitting with you this morning. Praise the Lord for that. Each one, win one. Thirdly, I want you to be able to answer this question in 2004. What is your ministry? And if somebody asks you that question, what's your ministry? I want you to immediately be able to say, I'm involved in Mexico ministry at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I'm involved in Sunday school at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I'm an usher at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I help with worship at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I deliver Christmas blessing gifts at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I'm a giver at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I'm a prayer partner at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. I'm on the Thursday night volunteer cleanup crew at Calvary Chapel, Simi Valley. God bless you guys, by the way. That's why our church is so clean all the time. Those are the three parts of the family business that I want us as a church to nail down hard in 2003. You with me?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for the family business of bringing salvation to us.